So for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. I usually don't like open with just reading stuff straight, but this is a really powerful passage. This is an incredibly powerful passage. It's used a lot. It references a lot of other pieces of Scripture. We talk about division. It talks about unity. You could say it talks about unity and diversity. But it's particularly strong focus here in Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. Difference and division are all around us. It's particularly evident this week, I think, in others. It's particularly evident in our communities. The holidays are coming close, and I don't know for how many of you, as you go sit around even your family dinner tables, you have conversations kind of like what Brett was just talking about, differences in theology, differences in perspective, interpretation, might be just differences that are as simple or maybe complex as Packers and Vikings. But at some level, differences and diversity sometimes show up in different ways. And sometimes we value those, and sometimes they tear us apart. These differences show up in our local community, and this is a lot often where this passage is focused on. That's really what Paul was writing towards, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. And it's really where we most often discuss this text. This difference in diversity happens in our neighborhoods, ours individually, and here at Third Way. And we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about how this difference happens at all kinds of different scales, in how we relate to different people in the Twin Cities, how we relate on the national context, maybe, you know, as our church. We'll talk a little bit about what that means at our conference level and the denominational level with Mennonite Church USA. Even touch a little bit on what it means at an ecumenical level, what it means for us to be different and have different interpretations from other Christian traditions, because we don't all agree. So we're going to, just to do a brief kind of fun illustration, we're going to go back over our scripture again. If you want to follow along or make notes or talk about how crazy the speaker is, we're in 1 Corinthians 12, and we're doing 12 through the end of the chapter, so it's kind of the last half. So we'll start here. I'm going to start right at 12, and I'm going to vocalize the slide changes to Abby. So Abby, you can go with this one. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members are of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in this one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. I had to think of Mr. Potato Head. Because these are indeed all one body, and yet they're all many different parts. Am I right? Amen! How many of you relate, who can relate to different parts of the body of Mr. Potato Head? Yeah? What are you, Dave? The mouth. Which mouth? We know you're the mouth for sure, but we didn't know which mouth. The one that's open the... Yeah, okay. Anybody else? I mean, just kind of fun. What was your favorite picture of Mr. Potato Head? With the mustache? Yeah. Kind of looks like an Italian, yeah.
I love it.
So we're going to move on to 17 here. And so if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be, right? There's different parts. And if the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, you can go to the next slide. God arranged each of the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. And if all were a single member, where would the whole body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. So by divine design, this scripture goes on to say, the weak are indispensable. The less honorable have great honor. The less respectable have greater respect, which, by the way, the appendix, have respect. That thing will kill you, right? I'm glad Danae's not in here to roll her eyes. But, you know, we share honor. We share in the suffering, and we get to share in the rejoicing of one another, right? That could be it. The sermon's over. Drop the mic. I could if it wasn't on a mic stand. This illustration is beautiful, and it's one of my favorites. I point to it a lot, in particular in the book of Romans. But I feel like it's important to point out that the reason that Paul is writing to this community, this particular scripture, is because at the moment, it very much does not look like this perfect picture of one body, right? So, continuing on with the Mr. Potato Head, what does it look like when the body's broken? We'll go to the next slide. You remember this story and this scene from Toy Story? Or like this, the next one? That was kind of funky. If you put the feet on in a different place, you can still kind of have a body, but it doesn't quite look right. Or the next slide. That was kind of fun, where the whole thing's sideways. And is any the thing with Mr. Potato Head and puzzles like this? You know, they're toys that are designed to give kids creativity. Is there a right way to put together a Mr. Potato Head? Yes, there is. Exactly. I was surprised it took that long for, like, if you couldn't hear that in the recording, there was a resounding yes, but it took a few seconds. There's a way that we have this normalized or normative sense of the body coming together. It looks a certain way. It feels a certain way. We're comfortable with it being a certain way. And that's natural for us, but this might be natural to someone else. Maybe. That would be Peter saying that. If you go to the next slide, I just want to highlight this phrase. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually, you're members of it. So let's get off of Mr. Potato Head to remove distractions for a second. Just kind of as a reminder for those of you who are new with us or who've been gone for a few weeks, we've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians. It's a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. Christ spoke, I do have Christ written here. Chris spoke last week on the first part of the chapter. I do think highly of you, brother, but... Chris spoke last week on the first part of the chapter and reminded us that Paul is writing to a church that's divided, right? So Paul visited the church in Corinth and then helped them, led them, and then left, went on, continued on his journey. And another leader rose up, Apollos, and we spoke about this back when we talked, I think it was late in the spring, we talked about chapters 3 and 4 in the book of 1 Corinthians. And really what we're doing in chapter 12 here is talking more specifically about the divisions that are rising up. As Chris introduced, Paul and Apollos had different gifts, particularly different maybe spiritual giftings. And this disagreement started to rise up about the church was thinking, which gifts are the best? You know, which of the spiritual gifts are more holy or more desired or more important in the life of a Christian, in the life of a church? And therefore, you know, these divisions, as we do, they became more and more divided, and each one kind of probably got more of a devoted following because of it. And Chris said this beautifully last week, so I want to try to restate it. For Paul, everything is within and for community. Everything about Christian life points us towards community. So for the body of, and so this is for the body of Christ. each one gift, so each part of the body, is delicately balanced and designed for its purpose. But alone and separate from each other's, it'll die. It makes sense, especially like if I'm an ear, not only alone am I not going to serve a very good purpose, you know, giving a sense of hearing to what, but alone I'm not going to survive because I don't have blood pumping through to regenerate my cells. So just quickly, what sort of gifts, like if we're thinking about the local level here, what sort of gifts or differences, we can call them, might you recognize right here within Third Way? What differences or gifts, what things that maybe set you apart from the person sitting next to you or from the person sitting a few rows away? You know, you don't name names. But what gifts do you have, do you bring, that set you apart? I can start us off by naming there are a few musicians here. There are a few people who have the gift of music and like being in front, and they lead music. There are other people who don't like to lead music, but like to sing, or like to play, or like to dance. I've seen Rachel do interpretive dance as part of her worship. I would never do that. Mostly to not put you all through watching it. Dance away. Thank you, Matt. What other differences might you notice just within our community? Hospitality. Yeah, for sure. Discernment. The wise guys up front. Reverence. Listening. Serving. Fixing cars. Absolutely. Or at least the willingness to dive in and send it to a professional later. We're full of gifts, and together we complement one another. Can you see how that makes us diverse? It makes us different. As a community, within one another, we're different from one another, but together as a whole, we're diverse, and we make up a body, and it's beautiful. Danae and I, when we chose to come to Third Way, we came and we noticed a lot of difference. But that's part of why we came. Actually, it's a big reason of why we came here. And I, in conversations with many of you, have heard very similar things. It's easy, right? We have relationships with one another. And this is where the passage is most often talked about at this level. But let's scale it up a little bit. So let's go back to Mr. Potato Head. Here's the thing about us humans. We naturally organize ourselves. So just as we are many parts that make up one body, so is this dude, okay? This next guy. Oh, I put an extra slide. The next one right here. This guy is also one body, okay? He's a little more funky. He's got a green hat, okay? And we got to be inclusive. So this lady is also one body, but they all look different. Right? They're all made up of different parts. Actually, some of them have similar parts and some of them have different parts, but that's a whole different Bible story. And I actually like this next guy. This is my guy. And may the Cubs season rest in peace. But I think that, you know, I was talking to Tim Detweiler, who's our conference, the Central Plains Conference Minister for Pastoral Leadership, last week. And I loved, he had a quote, and he said that the church has always wrestled with issues of division since the beginning. And when he says the church, he doesn't mean the Mennonite church. I mean, the Mennonite church has, but he means like the church has always struggled with division from the beginning. And then he said, and we'll wrestle with it until the day that Christ returns. Which is kind of sad, but also it gives me a little bit of comfort to recognize that the things that I'm feeling are okay. It normalizes it a little bit. It doesn't make it okay to judge or to separate, but it makes it okay that there's difference. So let's go to the next slide just because it's a little. These three are kind of funky, right? These three Mr. Potato Heads and Mrs. There's some androgyny in there, and that's okay too. Like this, these three look like they belong together. They all are different. They're all unique. They're all made up of parts individually, and they're all yet together. They're unique, and they have a purpose, but they kind of belong. I asked, as part of getting prepared for this, I was able to talk to a number of different friends across the country and in different cities and different small towns. I talked to people at our conference, and I thought I would share just a few things. The question I asked was, what differences do you see within the church? What ones maybe do we focus on too much so that they're divisive? And what differences do you think we could focus on a little bit more because they're beautiful and bring us more diversity? Okay? And so I'm going to talk about this a little bit, two different scales. We just talked about our community. We talked about all the different hospitality and service and music leadership and reverence. And then we're going to go up one more. So Central Plains Mennonite Conference is the conference that we belong to. Tim Detweiler was here for Terry's ordination or licensing ceremony. And this is a group of churches from Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Iowa, parts of Nebraska. I think there's one church in Illinois. So it's kind of the Central Plains region of the denomination. And some of the differences there are the space. There are some churches that are like us. They rent space. There are some churches that have been in the same building for 200 years. Theology. Sexuality has been actually a prominent division or difference at multiple levels of the church, but that's one that exists at our conference too. How we express our spirituality, liturgical versus Pentecostal. Some churches are moving a lot more towards more liturgical settings, but there's churches who have people who came from Catholic settings, and for them, that's kind of binding. And so they want to go more Pentecostal. And it's just really interesting, all these differences. Demographics. We have Anglos. We have Hispanics. We have multi-generation churches, people who've been going to the same church, you know, for four or five generations. We have churches like ours where there's a lot of first-generation Mennonites, let alone first-generation people a part of this community. Our church is so young compared to most Mennonite churches. Actually, I'd say in general that Central Plains Conference is one of the more diverse conferences within Mennonite Church USA, if we're taking some of these other things to be common. Within Mennonite Church USA, which is the denomination that holds, I think now 19 or 20 conferences within the whole United States, within Mennonite Church USA, we've got those differences, that those exist. We've got other differences, too. We've got people who are dealing with different natural disasters. We've got people who are dealing with, down in Pacific Southwest, we dealt very hand-in-hand when I was at Arizona and Phoenix. We were very close to the immigration conversation. There are rural churches. There are urban churches. There are Pentecostal churches, liturgical churches. There are churches where we share a lot of common practice with, and churches where we share a lot of common theology with. We've got a whole range. There are churches who sing songs that are similar to us. There are churches that don't. So what makes us who we are? What's that similarity? What's that defining body? And why is it important for us to be together? Well, I might remind you that now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. I think that this is a part that I eliminated out of the... I cut out because I didn't think I'd have time, and I don't really, but I think it's important to say, for me, the hardest part about this, admittedly, is where to draw the line. Because at some point, we're different bodies and in all kinds of different systems, and that's all complexity stuff that I love to talk about outside of a sermon. But at some point, how do we balance that grace and that accountability? How do we recognize that at some level, there is a certain rightness that we're seeking? And at some level, someone's wrong, and it might be me. How do we how do we hold that all together? And going back to Mr. Potato Head, you know, whose gift is most important, right? Is Mr. Potato Head most complete if he's missing his eyeballs or if he's missing his nose? Whose gift is most important? And then there's this pesky ending. I don't know if you all were paying attention when you got to the very end of the chapter. But it's like, so all this talk about like how all the parts of the body are so wonderful. And then verse 31, but strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. What? You just told us that they were all important. Greater gifts? Well, we don't have time to dive in specifically into what that means, but I'll give you a hint. The whole next chapter is about love. Okay? And so, and we're going to be talking about that in the future, but what does it mean to hold all of our differences together in love, but in a way that we can still be accountable to one another, in a way that we can still build one another up, and not just, I love you, and then, you know. For those of us in marriage relationships, we know love isn't just always nice. It's putting up with stuff that's hard. It's learning stuff about you that means you're incomplete. That's the hardest part about marriage for me, is realizing how much of a crummy person I am to live with sometimes, you know? Just this afternoon as I was getting ready to go, Danae told me, you could really rinse out the sink after you shave. And it's true. It's true. I could. Lord. Now what? Now what do we do? I don't know if we discuss diversity enough. These are some things that I wonder. I don't know if we discuss diversity enough. I don't know sometimes if we're too scared to name the differences among us, to name that we're different parts because we're worried that we're going to hurt someone's feelings or make someone feel like they're not a part of the body. I wonder if we could discuss diversity more. How do we figure out what those differences are, what those roles are that make us all unique, that make us all a part of the body, that we can seek greater fulfillment, not just of ourselves and our role, but of the whole body, because that body is a part of another body. If we seek ourselves to be the best version of ourselves, to be the best version of Third Way, then Third Way can be the best version of itself, to be the best part of Central Plains Conference, to be the best part of Mennonite Church USA, to be the best part of the Christian community in the church, which right now doesn't have a great image. The Christian church on the national scale doesn't have a great image. And how can we change that? How do we live out our part to the greatest potential? How can we here be a bigger part of that body? These are some of the things that I wonder. I talked a little bit long, and so I don't have much time left for kind of response or reflection, but I'm going to be available after the service, and I'm always available to talk with people. If you have questions about what it means for us to be part of some of these larger bodies, larger systems, one of the things that I bring to this body is having grown up a Mennonite, son of a Mennonite, son of a Mennonite, you know, kind of got it in my blood. And so, son of a Mennonite. Sometimes I feel that way, Terry. And that's why I'm here. But I'm also really glad to be a son of a Mennonite. And I think that I've been blessed to be able to work vocationally at different scales of the church. And I'm glad to answer any questions that you're having, just if you're interested. And there are some wonderful people in our congregation, in our church leadership, that are happy to talk to you if you're trying to figure out how you can more fully live out your role in this church, in this community. I encourage you to talk to your house churches if you're a part of a house church. I encourage you to talk to pastoral staff, to our church leadership team. volunteer, bring your gifts. Matt had a beautiful invitation earlier for us to share the ways that we worship together. I just think of the ways that you can be a fuller part of this community, that you can maybe be a fuller part of your neighborhood community. How can we as a church be a part of the community of believers here in the Twin Cities? So that's what I have been thinking about this week. I also wanted to say, this is a great book. This is A Flexible Faith by Bonnie Christian. And it was kind of weird for me to talk about this idea of lots of different ways to interpret things and be different parts of the body without mentioning the fact that we have someone who wrote a book on that. Check it out. I'm rereading it now because I read it too fast the first time. I challenge you, don't think about this scripture as an encouragement to be as you are and let other people be as they are. Think of the scripture as a way to challenge you to do that intentionally and to be a better ear. Man, I wish I would have ended that different.